This is Sarah Reichenader from the Stanford Alumni Association. I'd like to welcome our listeners to our second book of the 2016-2017 Book Salon season, The Book of Holga by Rita Mae Reese. Today, I'm sitting down with John Evans, a Jones Lecturer of Creative Writing at the School of Humanities and Sciences, who selected this book for our community. Thank you so much for joining me, John. John Evans is a Jones Lecturer of Creative Writing and former Wallace Stegner Fellow. He's the author of two memoirs, a poetry collection, and two poetry chapbooks. His previous memoir, Young Widower, won the 2013 River Teeth Book Prize and a 2014 Forward Reviews Book Prize. His poetry collection, The Consolations, won the 2013 Trio Award and the 2015 Peace Corps Writers Book Prize. His poems and essays appear in Slate, the Missouri Review, Boston Review, The Rumpus, and Poetry Daily. His most recent book is Should I Still Wish? A Memoir, forthcoming in 2017 from the University of Nebraska Press. He lives in Northern California with his wife and three young sons. So, John, can you tell me why you selected The Book of Holga?
Sure. For starters, this was one of my favorite books of the year. I loved the poems individually and taken together, the ambition of the book, the formal range and playfulness. I'm a great admirer of Rita Mae Reese's poems in general, following her first book, The Alphabet Conspiracy. And when she visited Stanford last spring to read from the Book of Holga, I sought her out to visit my undergraduate poetry workshop. What I wanted to understand, and what I thought my students might like to know more about, was how Reese built and executed in her writing such a fantastic and complicated project. A collection of poems about a partially imagined character from an unwritten novel by Flannery O'Connor, named in a letter, who in many ways seems also the protagonist of O'Connor's famous short story, Good Country People. So I was captivated by that project, and I was curious how and why O'Connor held Reese's attention as a subject and maybe even as a muse. I loved these beautiful, deeply felt poems. I liked how Reese built out so many of these poems to include contemporary moments and meditations. Reese's poems are often so formally inventive, and their lyricism is such a joy to rediscover and revisit, as I've done several times since I first read it earlier this year. So I thought it would be great to do that again in the Book Salon.
Cool. Thank you. Will you talk about your favorite poem in the book and why you chose it? And I like that you brought the poem so the audience can hear it.
Absolutely. It's a poem called Everything That Rises, which probably your Book Salon members will recognize from O'Connor's famous short story, Everything That Rises Must Converge. And I'll read it here. Everything That Rises. There is a use for every kind of error, and you're still asking what yours will be. It is one of your weaknesses that you believe someone or something can spin you into gold. The black dog at the foot of the bed stirs, digs a hole to bury you. Nothing to do but lie still, taste dirt. Nothing will save you from tragedy except comedy, which is worse. Let the ground find a use for your body, which was my home, which was never my home. Let your words sink beneath your tongue, which was my root. Close your eyes now, and let the nothingness from which you flee be the nothingness. So right off the bat, we notice that this is a sonnet. It's working in a loose formal structure. And in the book, it's the last poem in a crown of sonnets. And for readers who don't know this form, a crown of sonnets is a sequence of sonnets usually addressed to a single person or theme. And the last line of each sonnet becomes the first line of the next sonnet. And the last line of the last sonnet is the first line of the first poem, which brings closure to the form. In this particular sonnet, I liked how Reese was making clever variations on a word that repeats throughout the crown and also throughout the Book of Holga, which is the word nothingness. We see in this poem nothing, nothing, never, beneath, root, someone, something, error, tragedy. Close your eyes, nothingness, and nothingness. So the diction in the poem is pretty elegiac, but for me, this is a poem of great comfort, so I like that tension between an elegy and comfort. It's a wise voice, maybe also an authoritative voice. It's giving commands. It's telling us to do things, telling the reader to do things, but it's also comforting. It's addressee at the prospect of that nothingness. The poem is situated in a bedroom, which is a place of comfort, but also great restlessness. The mind is racing at night. It's refusing to surrender to the nothingness. The voice in the poem is conveying. It's helping to make a way and a place across, perhaps to death, perhaps to sleep. Formally, I think it's interesting that the turn to movement happens on that ninth line, "Let the ground find a use for your body," which is where all sonnets make their volta, or their formal turn from the first half to the second half. So there's another kind of conveying. In general, the poem is full of beautiful, memorable lines, some of my absolute favorites to read and reread, reinforcing that feeling of wisdom that's neither showy nor forced, but is musical and unforgettable. And I like that a great deal.
Hmm. That's beautiful. Thank you for sharing that. So what issues or points do you think our readers would like to discuss?
The Book of Holga brings up for me a lot of interesting questions. I don't know the answers to them. I don't know that there are definitive answers. But some of those questions are, how do we imagine the things that we admire? How does our imagining bring us closer? How does it hold us at a distance? At the end of this book, how do we feel closer to understanding and appreciating Flannery O'Connor, her work, her thinking and feeling, as well as Rita Mayreese's fascination with O'Connor and also with Holga? How and when do we feel confused or unsure about her subjects? In general, I think it's an interesting question, like, is this a project book? Meaning, are the poems in the Book of Holga working towards one goal, for example, to understand O'Connor, O'Connor's fascination with Holga, Catholicism, Southern literature, etc. As we read this collection, we see many influences and connections drawn in. Poe, Heidegger, Hopkins, Simone Weil, Martin Buber, Meister Eckhart, Van Bolen, just to name a few. There's actually a wonderful index online for this book at Rita May's website called Notes on Nothingness that builds out that list further and makes that web of interconnections bigger. So what is Reese doing that brings so many voices, epics, and perspectives together so seamlessly and beautifully? How is she placing these voices and their ideas in conversation with each other? To what ends is she doing that? I think it might also be interesting to discuss how Holga, as Reese's muse of sorts, comes to inform content and style. Reese makes the decision, for example, to work in the sonnet crown form, which I read from earlier. And that form, which has repetitions and complications, mirrors in a lot of ways the physical limitations of Holga in the story Good Country People, and Flannery O'Connor herself learning to walk on crutches at the end of her fight with lupus. Where else are we interested in Reese's formal choices? And I guess finally, these wonderful 9 original illustrations in the book by Julie Franke, how those illustrations interact with or inform the poems in the book, what topics, ideas, characters, places, are they in conversation with the poems? Does the presence of illustrations get us thinking in any interesting ways about how we think about genre or working across genre in a book of poems, in particular a book of poems about an imagined novel?
Great. Thank you. So thank you for sitting down with me to introduce the Book Salon community to The Book of Holga by Rita Mayreese.
Awesome. Thank you.